Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Sewer Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and this episode does not feature random squeaking noises in the background. And with me, I have...
Can we all just go to Lady Gaga's 1999 dorm room? Please? I want to go there.
And...
Chicken strips.
Double cheeseburger, got it. But yeah, that dorm room, that just seems quaint. You know, you could probably hook up a Nintendo in there, play some Super Smash Brothers. You know, she probably mained Samus back in the day, if she ever played it back then. Obviously, we know who she mains nowadays. Our lovely witch, Lord and Savior. Anyway, what the hell was I talking about?
Bayonetta.
Oh, yeah, that too. Because, you know, still waiting here for any news on Bayonetta 3, but obviously everything's been impacted because of this thing called the Plague, which I still hate and hates all of us. And, you know, all the other fuck-awful, horrible bullshit that's been going on, especially this past week.
Yeah.
Just a singular... I think this past week was a special singularity of awful. You know, everything going on in Wisconsin with that fucking white nationalist 17-year-old terrorist dipshit. And, of course, all the politicians and internet weirdasses making excuses for him. More shit going down in Portland. Of course, Chadwick Boseman passing away. No one saw that coming.
Oi. I was about to hit the bed when that happened. My phone's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, just... Jesus.
Just, damn.
And speaking of people gone too soon, fucking Riley Gale, too! Riley Gale of Power Trip at 34.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Damn, all these... All this, well... I will say one thing, at least we still got, what's the dude's name, Mark Mothersbaugh, because I heard he almost died from COVID, which he didn't, which good.
Yeah, so he survived that, you know, good. But still, just all kinds of awful over the place. But anyway, this is episode 188, so how has everyone been doing in the past week?
Not good. More of that high anxiety depression overload. Everything is awful. Because I've been dealing with people all week. Because I want it to be slow. I want it to be fall. I'm tired of these storms. I'm tired of these people coming in making a mess of the place. And I'm also especially tired today because... Well, I had two options on TV this past Sunday, one of which we'll get to later, the other of which was Black Panther on ABC, commercial-free, which is something that never happens, but given what happens, yeah, if it was the least they could do, it was a very nice gesture. And, yeah, because of that, I had to watch a certain other thing we'll get to later on DVR, and I stayed up until about 1:15 in the morning watching it, taking notes.
Oh, wow.
Because that's what I've been doing for the past 3 years for this show, and I regret it.
So this I think we always regret it.
I think Todd in the Shadows said it best on Sunday. We only watch this show for work purposes. Because who really cares anymore?
Yeah. But it wouldn't be surprising if the entire audience and the ratings was just people who are like watching out of work obligations.
Yeah.
Or just finding something to watch given everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently it's on the CW, which, oh yeah, that's right.
That happened for the first time ever because the powers that be at MTV or Viacom or Viacom CBS or whatever they want to be called believe that if there's something else on one of our networks, it's in direct competition to this. Therefore, every network must air it. Why? Because we're stupid.
I think it was aired on Nickelodeon too, which of course, Viacom, CBS.
Yeah, and even then, down 5% from last year.
How's it working out for you, Daddy Viacom? But, anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see, it rained all the time, especially now, because my black ass part is gonna thunderstorm or knock out the power, which frankly it didn't. And what else? Well, let's see, like, bullshit happening, everything got all fucked up, but other than that, I will say at least I have some good days off, which is good. I needed some, at least more days off than usual, which, yeah, it's nice, and it's gonna happen again, which, again, it's nice. I just hope they don't do it too often, because as much as I want some days off, I still need money.
Yeah. Money is unfortunately important in society. Anyway, as for me, well, in the past couple weeks, school started back up, and it's nice to at least have something of a regular routine again, even if it's mostly just consists of having to be at the computer at very specific times of day. You know, it is what it is. I finally beat The World Ends With You Final Remix on Switch. I have no idea what the fuck is going on with that ending. Though at this rate, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a sequel given that and the anime adaptation coming up. I just feel it in my bones. Also, I watched Season 3 of Agretzko, which, that pretty much has to be the end, right? There's nowhere else they can take this story after how that season ends. It's just, maybe an abridged last run of episodes to wrap some things up, but that's pretty much it.
I need to get Netflix tomorrow, or as soon as I get paid tomorrow, I'm saying, yep, get Netflix. And I'm pretty much gonna watch that before I go to work, which, I know, like, it should be short, like, what, like, 15 minutes an episode, so it should be, like...
Yeah, like, 15 maybe, minutes, except the last episode of the season is usually, like, 25, so...
Oh. Okay, so I can watch the majority of that before I go to work, man.
Yeah.
And he watched that in The Great Pretender, and, shit, what else is on Netflix that's anime-related?
Oh, a lot of stuff. Brand New Animal, Baki.
Well, I've seen Brand New Animal already.
I'm not sure anything else came out besides Great Pretender, but you never know. Something digging in the trenches there. Oh, and I just realized there's one thing I forgot to mention last week, and it's in regards to the out-of-town trip that I had taken a couple weeks back. Y'all want to know what was located about a mile away from the Airbnb that we all were staying at?
What?
In-N-Out.
Wait,
really?
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was exclusively a West Coast thing, but apparently it stretches out as far as Texas, I guess? I was unaware of that.
Okay. Yeah, apparently so. That's neat.
So, I of course saw that, realized how much my co-host has been talking it up over the years, decided to go and eat because I wasn't going to get an opportunity like this anytime soon, I knew it. I had the double-double, sadly not animal style, that slipped my brain. I have sinned. I will be, you know, crucified elsewhere. And I will say, that was a pretty good fast food burger. Honestly, I still think I like Shake Shack better, though.
Well, you're not getting any frills with In-N-Out. It's simple, straightforward, and to the point. That's why there's only, like, 5 things on the menu.
Here's a burger.
Burger, fries, and a shake. That's all you need.
Well, I got Coca-Cola because, you know, I'm a soda fiend, so that's just how I roll. I'm a simple man of simple pleasures. Or complex pleasures if I'm feeling bougie. So, yeah, can cross that off the bucket list. So, yeah, with all that out of the way, now we can move on to our usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along and pick up some new tunes to jam out to. Now, getting back to the usual routine of opening these shows with whatever the most recent quarantine cover from 2 Minutes to Late Night is, interesting one this week, as it is completely absent of your regular host, Jordan Olds, a.k.a. Gorsenio Hall. Though it is fitting that he's absent given the nature of this cover, because this week we have a cover of Killing in the Name by Rage Against the Machine. And the motley crew of musicians here are predominantly, you know, POC hard rock and metal musicians, so it's appropriate that the white boy sits this one out. Do we really need to explain the original song at this point? You've heard it. We've all heard it. Everyone's grandma has heard it. So, our lineup for this cover is as follows. On guitar, we have Trey Pemberton of Creeping Death, Stephen Harrison of Fever 333, formerly of The Chariot, and Izzy Bolivar of Seal, yes, that Seal, and also of post-hardcore veterans Glassjaw. Our drummer here is Chris Enriquez of Spotlights, Rod Davis of Fucked and Bound on bass, and on vocals, pulling double duty here, not only do we have Aaron Hurd of Jesus, Peace, and Nothing, but also Miss Eves as well. And, yeah, for this cover, they pretty much took the original song and turned it into an 80s-style thrash banger. You know, lots of hard-slamming D-beats and double kick runs, plenty of those tremolo thrash riffs, and those sweet, sweet shredding guitar harmonizations, pinch harmonics all over the place, you know, the whole nine yards. Aaron's vocals are more of a contemporary hardcore style as expected, which do add a nice, different vibe to the proceedings, while Miss Eves is mainly more, you know, clean vocals, although she does deliver an original verse, like, during the second verse, of course, related to how fucked everything is these days, and, you know, spreading progressive messages, you know, trans people are valid, defund the police, all cops are bastards, that, things of that nature, and, yeah, appropriate, this one fucking rips really goddamn hard. This is fucking great.
Mm-hmm. I'm not totally into the super heavy, harsh vocals on here, but Miss Eves brings to it, I'm all about that in that extra verse with the fantastic closing lines. We can't eat as his golf club swings, so we hit the street to dethrone the king, with a little bit of a throat slit gesture for added emphasis. Which is always a fun time to be had. Yeah, this song is still just as poignant now as it was back in 1992. And, yeah, there isn't much else to say. It's Killing in the Name. It's like, y'all know what the song is. You don't need us to explain it. Come on.
Some things, unfortunately, never change.
Yeah. Shows in whites. Yeah.
But while on the subject of people in color and metal, turns out there is a new album from Seven Dust coming down the road. Their newest full-length, Blood and Stone, is coming out October 23rd, and we have the pseudo-title track, Blood from a Stone. For some reason, the article we cited from listed as a full-on title track. You know, I know, details, but still. So, yeah, Seven Dust. Admittingly, my first-hand knowledge of them is really, really scattershot, but from what I have heard, this new song sounds about what I expect. It's driven by a lot of straightforward but really huge sounding syncopated guitar chugs in the verses, more prominent melodic elements in the chorus with the guitars and, you know, all of that stuff. The structuring is pretty typical overall, you know, it's that basic verse chorus, bridge, that whole thing. It's alright. The production definitely helps, you know, sell the heavy and melodic parts, and of course LeJohn Witherspoon's vocals are as strong as they've ever been, but I don't know, this still sounds pretty straightforward, no frills to me. It's alright.
Well, as much as I'm a fan of late 90s and early 2000s active rock, all the stuff I hear on Turbo, on SiriusXM all the time, I've just never been able to get into Seven Dust, and that's a problem because they play Seven Dust all the goddamn time. Oof. I just never got into them. Still can't. And this track doesn't do any favors for me since it's pulling a Hail to the King, only instead of contemporary Metallica, it's contemporary Trivium.
Hmm.
That's what I heard. This is sounding a lot like Trivium. Not like modern Trivium, I'm talking like about maybe 10 years ago, in a much more compact contemporary style. It just doesn't really work for me.
Well, moving on from the realms of rock and metal for a second. So, this is your routine reminder that Comedy Central's Moonbeam City absolutely should have gotten at least one more season, because you really can't let a killer animated aesthetic like that go to waste. Yeah, I'm still a little bit sore about that, for the record. Seriously, that show looked fucking great. How did it not get two seasons at least? But anyway, I only bring that up because the music group who did the soundtrack for that series, Nightclub, have announced their newest album, Die Die Lullaby, due out October 9th. And we have the lead single here, Miss Negativity. And, yeah, she definitely sounds very negative. I mean, she says it herself, I am sick and infected with pure pessimism, which, okay, you know, on the bright side, at least she doesn't have coronavirus, so I can think of worse things to be infected with. And yeah, the song definitely has like this really gothic pop thing going on with the repetitious bleeping synth melody, really tight drum groove and claps in the mix. Compared to some previous songs I've heard from them, and I have heard their past couple albums, it doesn't have like that super saturated bass synth, you know, like a Carpenter Brute jam or something like this. This feels more like, what would this be like? Hang on, let me consult the music video. Maybe there's imagery there that I can use as a potent metaphor. Yeah, that sounds about right. This feels like a song that would be playing at the prom in Stephen King's Carrie.
Yep.
Pretty much. So, yeah, in that regard, it's all right. Although, the synthwave dork in me does miss some of those heavier synth parts.
Well, I only have one note on this piece, and I know I'm not a properly trained singer in any kind of sense, but I do know one thing. You're not supposed to sing through the nose. Those vocal deliveries just... I don't know. It sounds like a really nasally Britney Spears to me, and it's kind of a put-off. Although I do like the pitch-shifted vocals in the second half of the song. It's a nice touch, but yeah, if your hook is being presented through your nasal passages, it's not that great of a hook.
Well, anyway, time to move on from synth to rap, as we have a collab track here between two rappers who, if I recall correctly, were both part of the 2019 freshman class, or I think...
Yep.
Ah, yeah, both of them were.
They are both Roddy Ricch and Cordae, formerly YNB Cordae. He dropped the YNB from his thing. And if you heard from him recently, he said, well, you know that he's been arrested for, you know, the protest, him, like, arrest Breonna Taylor kills, all that, you know, that shit. He, those protests, like, okay, which are right, but yeah. But yeah, he's been on that lately, and of course, Roddy Ricch has been, you know, been having his year with, you know, two number one songs with The Box and that one song he did with The Baby, Rockstar.
You know, and I just realized, like, from that last year freshman class, at least three of those people had viral TikTok hits. Roddy Ricch, Megan Thee Stallion, and I think Rico Nasty, just, like, slightly before she got on the freshman class, or sometime after. I know she's popular there from what I've seen. Sorry, that was just a random tangent. Go on.
All right. Anyway, the track I was called, it's called Gifted. And I will say, well, it's... Well, I mean, well, known, it has that sing-songy quote it got from the both of them. Like, they rap about their dream life, ever since the freshman thing. And all right, we'll say it's not bad. It got the usual. It got that I expect from, at least from what I heard from Roddy Ricch. I got a whole lot of people that have been counting on me. Got this little bad shorty going down the D. I'm not sure if you can't like the Wi-Fi. Okay. Hot on the fandom disappear like voila. I told niggas I was gonna make his head, no way. Watch some niggas made up a plate, that'd be, could be sliding on the E way with the heat on the seat that got his chains, which causes that second piece. But it looks like the come up song. The song is like, wow, I made it. It's that type of song. It's like, and yeah, this man, it's not, it's alright, it's listenable. I mean, not. I mean, I'm still kind of okay with both Cordae and maybe Roddy Ricch, but yeah, it's an alright song.
Yeah, I don't know what to say other than inoffensive on both rappers' behalves. Yeah, just not much else to add. And speaking of not adding much else, so next on this track list here, friendly reminder, Thundercat's Dragon Ball Durag is still an awesome song. And quite frankly,
yes, it is.
I want Thundercat's Dragon Ball, Thundercats, and I believe also X-Men printed boxer shorts. Because I rewatched that music video, I'm pretty sure I saw more than just Dragon Ball characters on those things. And that Gucci belt. And that Mickey Mouse shirt. That is just a style right there. But yeah, so we're bringing that song up because we got a remix here. A remix which features guest verses from Smino and GuapDad 4000, the current still leading GuapDad, unless they come up with GuapDad 5000, in which case he retires from the game and, like, I give up. But, like, yeah, for the most part, you just get, like, you know, the basic instrumentation and some of Thundercat's vocals in the first minute or so, and then, like, you know, both rappers kicking in afterwards, but, like, I don't know. They don't really add anything to the song, and nothing they really say is anywhere near as witty or memorable as anything in the original song. There's nothing as funny as, I may be covered in cat hair, but I still smell good, you know? It's just there, I guess.
Yeah, listen to it a few times, like, I mean, I got original song, got all of what, at least what I heard from Thundercat, but this particular remix is just like, it's there, I mean, it's kind of unnecessary?
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like to me. Because, like, you're just going to go to the original, you know? You want to hear him, you know, singing, "Did you wear that dress just for me? Because I'm trying to smash." Never act like you can top Thundercat lyrically. But anyway, time to move away from that back into rock territory. And our weekly dose of Alex-approved prog. So, care to take the lead?
Yeah, so for those a bit more in the know on the 1990s prog metal renaissance, this band, Fate's Warning, has been a constant staple throughout the growth of the subgenre, spearheaded by vocalist Ray Alder and guitarist Jim Mateos, and they have a new album out on November 6th, Long Day, Good Night. And this here is the first track available, Scars, and it more than fulfills that solid prog metal quota with soaring vocals and the more not-so-subtle intricacies that come with guitar and drum work within this genre. The track carries out with a solid groove to it with some fine drum fills sprinkled throughout with some flowery accents, and there's a solid 7-4 section after the guitar solo that perked me right up. It's one of those little things to make sure you're still paying attention, which, yes, I was, and I appreciate and approve. Yeah, not much else to say. It's a brisk and solidly paced track. I dig it. Should be a solid album. And for once, the comments on Blabbermouth about this weren't a total shit fire. That's the power of quality prog metal right there.
Yeah, so yeah, no first-hand knowledge of Fate's Warning, as you could probably tell by that lead-in, and overall, it seems pretty straightforward to me. Like, the main groove of everything, the guitars, bass, and drums, it's really tightly maintained, it's pretty consistently, you know, yeah, groovy. It doesn't switch things up too much, save for, like, you know, that time signature shift before that one eminently really cool part with, like, the clean strings and everything. I don't know, maybe I'll have to put their discography on the backlog at some point. You know, got some homework to do. I mean, I found time for all the King Crimson albums, so what the hell's stopping me here? Anyway, time to move on to something that I am at least familiar with. Some might say, unfortunately, at this point in time, because we got two new songs here, courtesy of The Smashing Pumpkins, part of a new album that's due out at an unannounced point in the future that's going to be released. okay. Which one of you guys is pulling a prank on me? Alex, did you type some shit in the document? Are you pulling my leg here? Because it says they're putting their new album out on fucking Sumerian. This has got to be a fucking joke, right? Right? Wait, are you serious?
Yep.
Oh my fucking God.
Billy's your problem now, Sumerian. That'll teach you for speaking up about Periphery. saying their own worst enemy. Fuck off with that shit.
You know, why, there are no rules anymore, you know, fucking last week we had Coheed and Cambria doing Jesse's Girl 2, now this, just, in the age of Corona, rules mean nothing. I'm a potato named Steve. But we might as well talk about these two songs anyway, and, this first one is called Seer, and, okay, so I guess nowadays they're doing some kind of 80s new wave synth pop kind of thing. I don't know. This it hits you really weirdly once you play it, because, like, if you were expecting, like, anything close to standard Smashing Pumpkins fare, this is, I don't know, this sounds like if Smashing Pumpkins was covering, like, Madonna or something like that. And no, that is not an invitation to tell me if such a thing actually exists. If you're going to drop a link, you keep that shit to yourself. I do not want to know. And as for the other track, The Color of Love, all I have to say is, hey, Billy Corgan, Robert Smith called. He wants his old Cure demos back. Also, he thinks you're a fucking dick for the way you treated Darcy Retzky a few years ago. And he's right to say that. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm still pissed about that.
Yeah. By the way, have you seen what Robert Smith looks like nowadays?
I can't say that I have.
He did not age well in the body department.
Oh.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that. So yeah, these two tracks, they're, I would say, more midway between The Cure and My Bloody Valentine in parts, with a little more emphasis on synth pop. And, yeah, like I said, Sumerian, Billy's your problem now. Good fucking luck. And I just really want that new Stephen Wilson album instead. Fucking pandemic ruining everything.
Unfortunately, we can't just all jump in the hyperbolic time chamber or something. Anyway, time to move out of that territory to the realms of good old-fashioned electronic and pop. So we have yet another weekend collaboration track here, this time with producer Calvin Harris. The track is called Over Now, and once again proves that the weekend is absolutely at his best, purely depending on his beat selection, because I think at this point, I'm finally starting to come around on him, because this is one of the best things he's ever sang over. I didn't pay too much attention to the lyrics. I can only assume they're the usual, you know, oh, he's a romantic bad boy with some degree of self-loathing or something like that. But Harris's production here is like some really smooth, slick kind of electronic with elements of funk, with like those really great, like, tight bass grooves and some of that funky guitar work in there. Just lots of great melody work over top. And in a way, it kind of carries hints of like the closing track from Starboy, you know, I Feel It Coming, just with more of that Calvin flavor to it. And yeah, this is some good shit. I'm not gonna lie. I like this.
Can you say it was very funky or very wavy?
Perhaps a bit of both.
In other words, this is the Calvin Harris I've been waiting for ever since. I've been missing ever since it was just Volume 1 a few years back. This is just so good. This is just so good. Like, I miss this Calvin Harris. Mm-hmm. And of course, we get this usual thing, and it totally works. It really works. This is just dripping with so much funk and synth, and just, oh, Calvin Harris, if you listen to this, which I'm guessing you're not, because you don't know who we are, where's Volume 2 of Funk Wave Bounces?
Yeah.
I mean, you can make it for next year in the summer. I mean, it's too late now.
Yeah, well, I concur. It's very funky. One could say that this is a kind of funkiness that was acceptable in the 80s. It was acceptable at the time.
But speaking of electronic, and speaking of where the hell's the album already, Porter Robinson. Yeah, where's Nurture? We don't have a release date yet, and we're already like 3 or 4 singles in, including this new one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, shit.
We go again.
Yeah, we have this new single called Mirror, and once again, very, very soothing electronic vibes with plenty of those beautiful building synths and vocoder vocals. Supremely comforting and quaint, and actually makes you feel decent about life for a moment. It's like that gif of SpongeBob where the old man is vibing out to music on his headphones while everything around him burns. That's what listening to this song feels like. It's a quaint escape.
Yeah, it's more Porter Robinson. Additionally, acceptable in the 80s, it's a song by Scottish musician Calvin Harris from his debut solo album, I Created Disco. It was released as the album's lead single on March 12, 2007. The single peaked at number 10 on the UK singles charts. I shouldn't have to explain the references, y'all.
Well, you look at me like I'm a devout Calvin Harris follower. This'll teach you not to assume things of me. Remember, I'm more busy digging through Bandcamp for, like, obscure Japanese noise music.
Okay, anyway, yes, this Porter Robinson song is very good. It's damn good. It's basically the shit out of the end of an anime, which, of course, that's been said so many times about this artist because, well, yeah, Porter Robinson.
Yep. But, time to move on to our last couple tracks here. First up, apparently we're getting a new project from Big Sean this Friday. It's called Detroit 2, which is a sequel to his album Detroit. But yeah, we have this lead single here called Deep Reverence, which features posthumous bars from the late Nipsey Hussle. I'm guessing I understand what the reverence is supposed to be held in regards to.
Yes, and I'm just gonna say it. It was a song, yeah, Nipsey had the best part. Like, we said, like, fuck around street legend, but love me with a deep resonance. I was ready for the C-section, helicopter, and police presence. We got obstacles, you keep evidence, we on your block while we eat breakfast. Last shots, we both street records. Like, okay, like again, while the man's rested in peace, he still got some bars, got some bars for y'all. And Big Sean! Okay, look, I'm gonna say this, like, I'm not much of a Big Sean fan, and Even though I think he has been improving a lot lately, or at least he's getting there. I mean, his verses were alright. Although, I will say the line where he says, most of the girls I know did it in social media all the time, they put in, they could write encyclopedias. I don't know what that man is, like, they could be doing this instead of that shit? Like, I don't know, maybe it seems that kind of, it's the one I keep thinking, on one hand, it's kind of corny. On the other hand, I don't know. I'm just thinking, I put too much fault in the Big Sean. Well, I don't know why. But, and then, of course, got this lyric says, after rapping to Nipsey, I reached out to Kendrick. It wasn't even a real issue to begin with. Because, like, that's referencing towards, like, you know the song, you know, while back he had a song called Control, which Kendrick Lamar had a verse on. Everybody was all over that one instead of him. And, like, you know, I know y'all remember. Yeah, it was that song. But, yeah, it's like, I think Big Sean and Kendrick kind of, you know, they, I guess, in men hands ever since Nipsey's death. Like, I don't know. But anyway, the song is good. Like Nipsey's verse, Big Sean was okay. He was fine. And yeah, that's all I got.
Not much to add. While I'm not really much of a Big Sean fan, I will say this is probably the most I've liked anything he's done in maybe ever, to be honest. Although he does get outshined by Nipsey Hussle, but, you know, that's because it's Nipsey Hussle, so what do you expect? But anyway, time to move on.
And now,
our last song here. And, well, this is something I wasn't expecting, but it's good to have this little treat to close out on. So, remember last year, Clipping released arguably the best rap album of the year with their existing in Addiction to Blood? Well, apparently, they're not hitting pause just yet, as they have a new album lined up for October 23rd, which is presumably going to make it another great October to listen for this year. I might have to listen to two albums back-to-back, with their newest project, yeah. Visions of Bodies Being Burned. And, interesting bit of trivia to note here, one of the songs listed on the track list is Body for the Pile, which they originally released as the opening track to that Adult Swim Noise compilation back in 2016. Or was it 17?
Oh, shit, that's right.
Either way, yeah, that's like 3-4 years old at this point, and it's now finding its way onto a full length. Very nice. So now we have this lead single here, Say the Name, and yeah, they're definitely still vibing on horrorcore motifs, as the lead single from the last album had a lyric video and production inspired by John Carpenter's Halloween, whereas the production on this one and the visual style of the lyric video is more John Carpenter's The Thing, with that really weird, like, kind of glistening angular lettering. And, of course, that really harsh bass-heavy synth thing as opposed to, like, the keyboards and everything. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay, you... All right, you see the thing, I... Okay, you, I was thinking... Okay, I was thinking of Candyman, to be honest.
Well, lyrically, there's that, too.
Yeah, there's that. That with the whole... With the whole Say My Name thing. And, oh, by the way, Say My Name is the name of the track, in case you forgot to mention that.
Ah, yeah.
The way almost like I said, I noticed a bit of that Candyman thing, cause like it got the whole hook thing, which, you know, do the hook, you know, the hook, and of course bees, lots of fucking bees, which, odd fact about that old movie, I heard that Tony Todd kind of, he got all those bees in his mouth, he said he got paid for every time he got stung, which, okay, ouch, and, well, at least you got paid.
Yeah.
I just know these things. I just know. But yeah, anyway, of course this song fucking slaps. I can't wait for this album to come out. And this, I know it's going to be another top album contender for us.
Yeah, just when we thought RTJ was going to take it, now we have someone else throwing into the ring. Especially at the quality of the single, because again, this shit is good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really glad that I have it, that used that song on an Instagram story thing, which I've been doing those a lot.
Yeah.
Because I like to.
Everybody's got to kill the time in quarantine somehow.
Yeah, just make weird shit. Just make weird shit, which is one. But Instagram and TikTok for a reason.
So, yeah, October 23rd, be prepared. And that pretty much does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have the thing we were alluding to earlier in the episode. So stay tuned. And we're back. There is but one lone topic of news that we have to discuss during this back half of the episode. Unfortunately, it's the yearly recap of the MTV Video Music Awards.
We watch it 1 year with Kendrick Lamar and the Ninjas, and now we're stuck doing it every year.
It's like you have that magnificent high... And then you just keep praying to God that you can capture anything even close. Just... This is what we do this to ourselves. We could stop at any moment, but unfortunately we need hashtag content.
Yeah.
Yeah, content. And damn, we have to work with somebody in here. At least work with somebody to be like. I mean, like I said, like, 2017, root for Kendrick. 2018... Donald Glover with This America. 2019, Lil Nas X. 2020, I'm guessing a whole lot of motherfuckers.
Basically, anybody that wasn't Taylor Swift.
Oh, well, good that did, huh?
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, let's actually get into this. First off, there was, of course, the pre-show, which who the fuck really cares? All I'll say is I tuned in like about 3 minutes before airtime proper. And I had to witness Travis Barker performing with a man that I later learned was Machine Gun Kelly, because apparently he nowadays looks like Jake Paul. Or something. Or he looks like a SoundCloud rapper version of Beat from The World Ends With You, but yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, by the way, fun fact, I was like half paying attention to the show and half playing The World Ends With You, which honestly feels like a more productive use of my time. Yeah. But yeah. So... As expected, first off, the show opened with Keke Palmer dedicating this show to the memory of the late Chadwick Boseman. Then getting into the first performance of the night, we had The Weeknd performing Blinding Lights. Now, you might be wondering how this performance was supposed to happen considering they were barred from actually doing the show in full at the Barclays Center. Well, apparently this they were staging performances all over New York City. This one being the Edge Observation Deck at Hudson Yards.
Mm-hmm. Complete with fireworks, yep. Pyro and Ballyhoo. And, yeah, this was the best performance of the night. It was the peak of the show. Everything else, downhill.
Yeah. And then we had Keke Palmer come out on what I assume was the rooftop of a building, I think. Or
mm-hmm.
there, or was that set just not even there? Like, were they performing in, like, one of those weird, like... I don't even fucking know, because, like, well, the roof they were standing on looked real enough, but then you look out at the crowd, and it's, like, some 2000s PC game or something.
Well, here's the thing. This whole show was taped in advance. Logistically, you can't do this show unless you tape everything in advance, with the central location of the show being some unidentified soundstage complete with green screen graphics that may or may not have been produced with Unreal Engine.
Okay, so I guess that resolves that. So, you know, soundstage and all that. And so, yeah, Keke Palmer comes out, makes a speech dedicated to all the bullshit, you know, another go at honoring the essential workers during the pandemic, talking about the bullshit going down in Kenosha, Wisconsin, things of that nature.
Yep.
And then following that, we get a medley performance from DaBaby, featuring the songs Peephole, Blind, and Rockstar, minus Roddy Ricch. And I'll give it credit. I do like that part at the end when there's the sign at the end that says, "Stop killing us," you know, mm-hmm. using a platform for good. But speaking of Unreal Engine.
We're talking like Unreal Engine 3 here.
Oh, God.
No one needed to see a CGI police car that sort of morphs into a prop car. It was weird. And also, this whole show was hyper edited to all hell, and it doesn't look good. Not one bit.
After that performance, we get Jaden Smith coming out to present the first award of the night, Best Collaboration, which goes to Rain On Me from Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande. The latter was not present, so Lady Gaga was able to steal the stage with one of many excellent coronavirus-approved looks. Just always killing it in the fashion department.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah, she's really angling for that Bayonetta Final Boss look. Speaking of.
Yeah.
Then we get, you know, a commercial break, and as Alex points out in the notes... shows the closed set and kills the illusion.
Yeah, you don't do that, yo. You don't show the people walking through an empty soundstage if you're supposed to be presenting everything in a super cyberpunk, hyper-realistic kind of dystopian thing. If you're going to have a set, commit to it and don't kill the illusion. But then again, it's the VMA, so who cares?
Yeah, you're ruining the illusion, the very similitude of those Zoom calls being projected onto skyscrapers, man. And then, after that, we get a clip of Chadwick Boseman at the 2018 MTV Movie Awards, again, in memoriam. And then we segue into a performance by Miley Cyrus doing the song Midnight Sky. And, really, we're trying to reference Wrecking Ball in the year of our Lord, 2020? Is that what we're doing?
I'm like, why?
I don't know, but, the song itself is alright. This performance was not. You had camera cuts almost like every 5 seconds. The first half was shot in solid colors, the first being solid red, which is basically Virtual Boy vision, which is awful.
Ugh.
And then solid blue, which is a tinted Virtual Boy vision. I don't know. And as I mentioned here in the notes, which I had to take for this show for the third straight year, the strong bad rule, Miley. You should know this by now.
Oh, what were they thinking? More like, We need to feed our children, so we made this terrible song.
So yeah, following that, whatever that was, Drew Barrymore comes out and presents the award for Best Direction, which goes to Taylor Swift's The Man. She accepts the award from home in her pajamas. I don't know. I care nothing for Taylor Swift.
Like,
nothing.
Oh. It's like, all right.
I mean, if you're shooting a video on your phone in your pajamas, that's like, easy, Mark. We're not at the Grammys yet. Don't hurt yourself. We have 6 months for that. But, yeah. If you're just accepting this via a video shot on your phone in your pajamas, that's like peak not caring. I also the best choice for this show because, again, who cares?
Yeah. Effort, that's for other things. So then we cut to our next performance, Toyota. Pre-taped featuring the music of J Balvin, Toyota. Filmed across New York City, sponsored Toyota, by Toyota, Toyota. Then there's a bit with Maluma performing the song Hawaii at the Skyline, Toyota. Drive-In in Brooklyn, also Toyota, sponsored by Toyota, Toyota. Then Anthony Ramos comes out, Toyota, to present Best Latin, which goes to the song Que Pena, Toyota, by Maluma featuring J Balvin.
Now,
did I mention Toyota?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you want me to buy a Toyota.
I don't know. What would give you Toyota? That idea, Toyota.
Oh, that's another thing about this show. All the four sponsor spots. We had this.
Toyota.
We had all the stuff with Geico and DJ Khaled, which was not funny. And then something much worse that we'll get to later. But first, Kane Brown is here to shill for some crappy beer. Coors Light.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I can feel the pain from here. Ugh. God, Coors.
Oh boy, Coors. The stuff my brothers always fucking drink at barbecues and shit.
Yeah.
This is what kind of don't drink it ever because like tell me you're gonna drink like, oh really, but why that shit though? It tastes like shit. It's like shit. It's from where? Give a fuck.
Listen, maybe Coors fan base has coronavirus because they don't have taste. That joke never gets old. But then after that, we get some bit with Keke Palmer in Times Square. Who cares?
Which is like, yeah, it's there. I mean, it's not really hitting it. But yeah, at least for her, it's not as bad as inviting what's his fucking face last year.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Anyway, now we move on to Joey King, who presents Song of the Year, which once again goes to Rain on Me. Lady Gaga accepts once again with another extremely excellent outfit and mask combo. Then after that, we get a performance from BTS performing their debut English language song, Dynamite, which, yes, as of this week, is number one on the Hot 100.
Yeah.
Suck it, racist DJs who are trying to crack wise by being racist assholes.
Guess I'm finally gonna have to start paying more attention to BTS and listen to some albums.
Yeah.
I have no choice now. K-pop has taken over.
That means you too, Todd. It's finally gonna happen.
that's gonna be a fun episode.
For this performance, they decided to take a bit of a kind of cross between a green screen and a projector image look to how they filmed everything. It was okay, but another problem that sort of affected this show, especially with the Miley Cyrus performance, lip syncing everywhere.
Yeah.
If you're gonna do it, at least make it convincing. You know, you have to convince us that you're not doing it. That's all I want.
Anyway, then after that performance, we get someone named Madison Beer, who presents Best Music Video from Home, which goes to Ariana Grande and, hang on. Bieber. You know, while we're making Dawn of the Shadows references. Neither of them are here, thank God.
Yeah.
Then we get the first of several sponsor bits between Lil Yachty and the Burger King.
I think this was like the second of the series. Either way, they were beyond stupid.
I think there were at least three that night. And this is the first one that I saw. And I'm not going to lie, I spent far more time thinking about the logic of the Burger King wearing a face mask than I think I realistically ought to have. Because I was sitting there like, wait, I thought that thing on his head already was a mask. And, unless they're going to sit there and tell me that's actually the dude's fucking head. We know you're not an actual monarch abomination. You're just some underpaid intern in a costume. Stop pretending like you're real. You're just a clown for our amusement. Who tells us that we can get penis-shaped chicken sandwiches for $5 for two?
Or get some chicken fries that may or may not be kind of old.
And sell us mediocre Xbox games.
I remember when those games came out. It was weird.
Very. Anyway, moving on to the next bit of the show. We had a performance from Lady Gaga with a medley of tracks, Chromatica 2, 911, Rain on Me, and Stupid Love. And apparently that's the point where Ariana Grande decided, you know what, I should show up.
Yeah, she finally showed up to perform Rain On Me with Gaga.
Was she the whole time?
Like, apparently, and there were some neat little bits before her performance started that showed her in what looks like a dorm room from the year 1999 with an old-style TV. I want to go there because it's probably a lot better there than here.
Yeah, this is very, very true.
Yeah, well, hey, what did make y'all 5 years old?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that makes me 8. I gotta babysit you motherfuckers. Oh, no.
Hey. Uncle Mark, can we play Super Smash Brothers? And then I can kick your ass as Samus?
David, here.
Uncle Mark just like, listen here, you little shit. Now, there's an idea for a sitcom, but anyway, moving back into the show, Nicole Richie, who I discovered yesterday, is apparently still alive. I thought she died like 5 years ago.
No. Despite everything, she is very much alive, and I had to put in my notes, Nicole Richie, why? Because with a lot of these presenters, they're either a who, or they're a why, as in, why are you here?
I don't understand, but then she comes out to present Best Pop, which goes to On by BTS, and then Best R&B, which goes to Blinding Lights by The Weeknd, who keeps his speech pretty short and sweet. He says he finds it difficult to be happy about accepting the awards because of how fucked everything is, and calls for justice for Jacob Blake and Breonna Taylor. Arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor. Anyway, moving on from there, Kiki Palmer is now with the Bronx Zoo, and she is still not funny. Then Kelly Clarkson comes out to present Artist of the Year, which goes to Lady Gaga, brings out look number 3. Then we get a segment for, you know, frontline workers in the COVID-19 pandemic. Then J.P. Sachs and Julia Michaels come out to perform If the World Was Ending. And let me double check that I'm reading this right in the notes here. Obey and buy extra gum, sponsored by Toyota.
Yeah, because okay, sponsor and, spots.
Yeah, can I do this next one?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so my name's Sophia Carson. Okay, because we're going to break. So my name's Sophia Carson. I don't know her. Presents the War Beautiful Good. Oh, and thank God it's her wincing for I Can't Breathe. Oh, I was so fucking afraid. I was like, it's gonna go on this one.
I mean, at least half the videos nominated were related to the Black Lives Matter protest, so I figured it was gonna be one of those. Like, I don't even think Viacom would be that stupid to give it to, like, I don't know, Demi Lovato.
Yeah. This actually did have a sponsor to it, but in a more philanthropic method, Pepsi, they're actually donating $100,000 to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, which is important.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of fucking assholes out there trying to cause shit and kill people.
Yes, very important. Although one can't help but think this is them trying to pull a mea culpa on that Kylie Jenner ad.
Oh, yeah.
You think I forgot about that? Well, I still remember.
We all remember, but...
Yep.
But then we move on from that to the realm of TikTok memeing as we get the next performance courtesy of Doja Cat, who performs Say So and Like That, which I just gotta say this. Can someone tell me why the intro bit to her performance is this weird facsimile of classic MTV news? How dare you stand where Kurt Loder stood?
The thing is, I'm pretty sure she was trying to be, for all of us old people out there who remember, Kennedy. Y'all remember Kennedy?
Oh.
That's...
I remember the name.
Yeah.
Ain't she, remember something from her, I don't know.
Look, either way, that still bugged me. The performance was just whatever, you know. She does the big viral song, does a bit of the dance or whatever. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And then after that, we get model Bella Hadid, who presents the newly introduced Tricon Award. Whatever a Tricon is, it honestly sounds like one of those shows that they use to pastiche into Robotech, but whatever. The Tricon Award goes to Lady Gaga, who brings out yet another look. Just keep that in mind, because those looks are great.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, is it because the fact that I know, like Gaga, like, we know from, like she's in late, like, she's produced in late 2000s, in the 2010s, and I'm guessing now in the 2020s?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that what that's supposed to mean?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, whatever. More awards for Gaga is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And then out comes...
Travis Barker.
Travis Barker, clearly broadcasting that he's in the middle of a midlife crisis with his attire to present Best Hip Hop, which goes to Megan Thee Stallion's Savage.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
As it should.
And yeah, and she's at home popping some bubbly.
Yeah, she's got a little bit of the bubbly.
Celebrate. And of course, well, after that, they do an end mark symbol of your musicians we lost, which, of course, with hip hop, they did introduce both the loss of both Juice WRLD and Pop Smoke. And, of course, they got a whole bunch of other names on there, like I think y'all two can know more than I do, because I saw some names in there. And I want to say is, I know this is like I said before, like musicians that died. And I know, I guess they put Chad Booth on there again, which I get out of respect, but I don't know why this is a thing like this.
So yeah, moving on. We get another bit from Kiki Palmer in Brooklyn, followed by her performing a song called Snack at the Brooklyn Drive-In. This performance, it's not good.
Boom.
I forgot.
Yeah, and this song kind of sucks. I'm sorry.
And then we get CNCO performing the song Beso, which, to quote directly from Alex's notes here, quote, "Remember making the band? This is the non-union Latino equivalent, supplying reggaeton in boy band form, and we all want to die." Sponsored by Toyota.
Yep.
I would also like to add that the guys in CNCO all look like they voice act the Hispanic dub of Ed and Nettie. Just saying. And, you know, after that we get Machine Gun Kelly, for some reason, presenting the Best New Artist Award, which goes to Doja Cat. There are bleeps.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are bleeps.
Yeah, that happened.
Sponsored by Chime.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been worse. It could have went to Louis Capaldi.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And now we have the rundown of awards not important enough to be broadcast during the main ceremony. So best choreography for K-pop group goes to BTS.
No duh.
Best visual effects goes to Physical by Dua Lipa. Cinematography, Rain On Me, Lady Gaga, and Ariana Grande. Rock, oh, it goes to fucking Coldplay.
Fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
What's that sketch? I think it's like a Family Guy bit where they literally just like run a name of people that Peter thinks sucks really bad, and they say Chris Martin from Coldplay like three fucking times. That's the mood here. Art direction and editing go to Mother's Daughter by Miley Cyrus. Best alternative goes to Bloody Valentine by Machine Gun Kelly.
Apparently he does a ton of music now, or at least he does rock or whatever the fuck he does. I don't know what he does.
I've heard that apparently he's a better rocker than he is a rapper, and sadly there might be a mild grain of truth to that, though that's probably not saying much. And then last but not least, best quarantine performance goes to CNCO.
Because who cares?
Yeah, now let's go
to... I was going to mention that the choreography and group also went to BTS. Or did you not mention that? I don't know. I
mentioned that.
Okay, all right, just check.
And then we are finally at the end, which, let me just say, this entire show felt like it ran a bit shorter, like... I don't have any reference for what the time, you know, frames were for the previous ceremonies, unless Alex happened to hold on to the notes for those, which I don't know.
Let me take a quick look. I can tell you that this show, at least, was a very sharp 2 hours 15 minutes, and I'm going through my notes from last year. The show started at 8, and it went on until... 10:58 p.m. So it was just shy of 3 hours.
So yeah, this definitely felt like it ran shorter, but it didn't even feel like 2 hours. It felt like an hour and a half.
Not to make a point. Of course. Or I don't know. Like,
then again, maybe it's because I was busy playing video games in between the commercial breaks. So. But anyway, we have the final proper award of the night. BB Rexha comes out to present Video of the Year, which goes to Blinding Lights by The Weeknd, who again just like gives a super quick, you know, thank you for the award, calls for justice for Jacob Blake and Breonna Taylor, and then we get the final performance of the night, the Black Eyed Peas with Nicky Jam and fucking Tyga, and... I'm sorry. Of all the things that I want to see or don't want to see during an award show, the one thing I never wanted to see ever was will.i.am's glowing radioactive crank.
Oh. Yeah. It was at this point I asked this one question. Why did I stay up past 1 a.m. watching this and taking all these notes? What was the point of this?
I don't know.
I don't know. But just, you know, I assume the point of it was to, you know, sell us Toyotas. Sponsored by Toyota. And, yeah, so, I don't know, y'all motherfuckers. You know, you got to do your award show. Granted, it was, you know, half-assed as all hell, but,
yeah.
Well, I mean, even, I mean, by quarantine standards, I guess that counts as using your whole ass. But, I don't know.
I mean, at least some of the winners were people we kind of favored or like, I don't know, like, at least people like, we like Lady Gaga The Weeknd and Lady and Megan Thee Stallion won some things.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and it looks like at least it was short, at least there was no, I mean, there were some funny skits, but it wasn't as much. It wasn't as overlong as that one thing from last year.
Ugh.
The one with Madonna just going on and on about whatever the fuck she... I don't give a shit. But, yeah, it's business as usual with these things.
Yeah, so let's leave this behind until next year when they're going to, instead of having a pretend audience, have an audience That's pretending to be enthusiastic about being there.
Yeah, apparently they did confirm that they were going to have a show at the Barclays Center next year. Maybe. Who knows?
But until then, let us venture into the last bit of business here, and that is the new album releases for the week of September 4th, 2020, of which there is jack fucking shit. There's a new album from metal act Oceans of Slumber, a self-titled release, The Pineapple Thief dropping their newest project, Versions of the Truth, and the aforementioned Detroit 2 from Big Sean.
Oh, I was going to mention this. Like, I know last week you mentioned the West Side Gun album coming out, but it was delayed because the group was mourning of the passing of DJ Shay, who passed away from COVID. So, yeah, in case you wonder about that, yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah. So, now to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Well, as always, over in the Discord servers, of which I'm in many, or of Azure, you might find me pop up somewhere, somehow. You never know. Because, yeah, it's the one place I'm cool with hanging out, talking to people, because, y'all motherfuckers are insane! Chill the fuck out! Goddamn!
Yeah, it'd be like that. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see, Twitter, MacTavern Media, Discord, Mac2Hybrid, Instagram, Mac2.0, my own site might have one, HighwindNeverPress.com. I might have something coming up soon, I don't know, I'm actually working on something right now, but yeah, I got to do a whole lot of shit. I do a lot of Instagram stories, though, that's just me doing weird shit and just put songs in placement, like, fucking just do some shit like that.
Yep. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@superresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up on the weekend over on the YouTube channel, so subscribe. Hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. And, visit the website, SurrealResolution.com, for this podcast, podcast O&A, written articles, the whole shebang. Be sure to jump into our Discord so you can shitpost, things about whatever you want to. Or, I guess, have vaguely sincere discussions, who the hell knows. And, of course, a shout-out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music before this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with our usual nonsense. So, until then, why is Machine Gun Kelly a thing?
Toyota.